Well, we're into the first week of 2023. How many of you have already blowed through your New Year's resolution? Me. I'm going to tell us again, Dan, but, so hang on. My New Year's resolution, I'd been seeing a lot more of Charlie Alcorn lately than what I probably should be. So I thought that I might try to lose a little weight for the year. And I was up at Muncie one day, and just right out of the blue, a man comes, he tells me, he says, I lost 60 pounds by not eating anything white. Then he said, well, you can eat all the meat that you want. And I was immediately sold on that. So then I had my wife come, and as I was preparing some fried potatoes, that putting green food coloring on them did not make them white. Who knew? Toasting white bread doesn't make it brown. So then, the real shocker, sugar is white. Did anybody know that? Sugar is white. The real trip up was when they told me that chocolate bars are still considered to be white. And that's when I blew it. But I justify it like I do a lot of things. That guy wanted to lose 60 pounds by not eating none. I only want to lose 20 so I can have a little bit. You know, right. So, no, we'll get on seriously now. We're going to be in the book of James today. So if you have your Bibles, we're not going to have anything on the screen, because I don't trust technology. I want to be ready. So we're going to be in James chapter 2 today. The second half of the chapter, we're going to start out in 14. But as I come up here, I first of all want to say, as I always say, the only way that I can stand up here and do this is through Matthew 10, verse 20. That when I'm in this position, that it's not me that's really speaking. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to say. The Holy Spirit is going to speak through me today. If you're willing to take that, fine. But I can't do it any other way than the Holy Spirit's going to give me the words to say, and so I'll be your messenger today. So we start out here in James chapter 2, verse 14. And it's really the meaty section of James. James is easy to preach because he does it all for you. So basically, a lot of it all I have to do is read to you. But what it's about here is dead faith or living faith. That is the thing that we're going to talk about helping other people. It started out in chapter 1 that we're to help orphans and widows. Here it's going to go just a little bit farther. So if you're with me now, we're going to start in 14, and it says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such a faith save them? I'm not going to answer that question right now. We're going to read a little bit more before we try to answer that question, but it says, Can such faith save us? Dead faith, what he's talking about. It says, if someone claims to have faith, that's maybe a different thing. I can claim to be a car and sit in the garage all day, but it doesn't make me a car. So I hope you get the point of that. So we're going to talk about some dead faith here in 15. But first, before we go on farther here, I almost forgot. Some of you might be thinking that this is kind of contradicting what Paul says, that we're saved by grace, not by works. But the kind of faith that saves us has deeds or works accompanied with that. That's what we're going to try to see. So it says that in Ephesians 2:8 that we're saved by grace and not by works. But if we just take that one little part, you might not be getting the full thing behind it. So I have it here in Ephesians chapter 2, what he says after that. Well, let me just read from 8. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourself, it is the gift of God." 9, not by works, so that no one can boast. But then here, if we take this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He wants, that's what we're designed for. That's what he wants us for, to help our brothers and sisters. So as we go into 15, we're going to see some examples of dead faith. And it says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." It's dead. You have a dead faith. So in if we would have went on before in chapter 2, it talked about a hearer of the word or a doer of the word. A lot of us hear the word, but we don't do it. Or we only want to pick out the little things that we want. So I'm not here to step on anybody's toes this morning, but James might. I'm just the messenger. So if I do, it's because I love you. I want to go to heaven, and I want you all to come with me. Anybody else want to go? Amen. Good. So it says there, so a brother or a sister in Matthew chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus Christ himself, as he looked at his apostles, as he looked to his followers, he said, "These are my mother. These are my brothers and sisters." So we're talking about Christian people, people of the church, fellow Christians. That's what he's talking about. I mean, it says, suppose a brother or sister was without clothes or daily food. And there again in 16, if anyone says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," that tells me that you know that they have a need. You know that they do. But you give them a few fancy Christian words, "Go in peace, be well fed," not any good. And I've even went as far, and I've just realized I'm pretty bad about this myself. I'll say, "I'll pray for you." And I'm not standing up here saying that prayer is a bad thing. But there's some times that we use that excuse of prayer instead of actually the deeds. And like I say, don't get me wrong, prayer is the best thing we have. It's the only thing we have. But if we can do something, we need to do that. Because then there's a lot of times I've caught myself, I'll say I'll pray, but then I don't even pray. So what good is that? What does it profit if you're in the King James? It profits nothing. Nothing at all. So there again, 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. in 18. But someone will say, I have faith. You have faith. I have deeds. James wanted to cut that off real quick. You know, oh, well, I have faith. We don't have faith meters on our head. We don't know who has faith. Only by the example of deeds that we do. The things we do for others. The caring. That's what God wants us to do. To love each other. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Every demon in hell, every demon on this earth knows who Jesus Christ is, believes in him, knows he's God. Acknowledges that he's God. What do we have in common if we don't have deeds in our life? We're dead. We're the same as them. So we've got to be real careful about that. We believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. And shudder. So here then, now as we get into 20, we're going to start seeing some examples of dead and living faith. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. That kind of tricked me for a minute on this, but Abraham was already considered righteous by his faith. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, I think it was, where it started out that he was shown he had faith and he was righteous before God by his faith. And it wasn't even until after a couple of chapters later in Genesis there that Isaac even come around. He was already considered righteous to God by his faith before Isaac even came on the scene. But it was that when Abraham was willing to do the deed, was that then we mixed deeds and faith together. They became righteous. So it was already beforehand considered that he was faith. But it wasn't only until he went on Mount Moriah and he was willing to do that, that God seen that his faith. He didn't actually do it as it said there because the angel stopped him. God didn't want human sacrifice, but he wanted obedience. And he wants good works in us. And it wasn't then until then. If you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone, that we're made right with God. A dead faith. Dead in our bodies. We have a spirit. We have a body. We have a soul. Our spirit is going to live forever somewhere. Location is your choice. So I'm going to move on to another. Well, you know, did I finish? Yeah. No, I didn't. Okay. So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. So that was kind of a Jewish flair on that as an example, because a lot of the Christians at this time, when they were writing, this was probably one of the first New Testament books written. So as Jesus' half-brother. So he probably knew just a little about. Now we're going to get an example from Rahab. Rahab was a Gentile. She lived in Jericho as a prostitute. But listen what God has to say. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them out in a different direction? She didn't have a godly profession. We know that. We see that. She was a prostitute. But when she acknowledged God in her faith in God and did the deed, that's what made her righteous. Not by just believing, but by righteousness, she did what she was told to do. And that's the same way with us. When we would want to help our brothers and sisters. We want to be caring. We want to be loving. And we show that by good works. It says there in 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. It's dead. So we're no different really than those demons in hell if we don't have works with our faith. It's the same way as the example of an apple tree. The life of an apple tree, we can't see it. It's in the roots. It's in the bark of the tree. There's no evidence that there's life in that tree until in the spring when the leaves come. And then it bears fruit. That's the evidence that a tree is alive. And it's the same way with us. We have living faith when we do good works. That we help the church, that we help our brothers and sisters. That's what he's talking about. So then I think the thief on the cross. And Luke, it tells, he only did two things as a Christian before he died. Two things. That's all he did. He got on the other thief. Don't you fear God? Be quiet. Don't you fear God? But then when he turned and he looked at Jesus, and he said, remember me in your kingdom. What Jesus is telling, today you'll be with me in paradise. So then I think, do we want to try to slip in the back door of heaven? Do we barely want to make it? You're playing with a dangerous thing. Because your heart better be right with God, and you better have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can come play church. You can come be a Sunday morning pew sitter. Will that get you to heaven? Paul says you're saved by grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. We don't have to do any works, but we are made to do those works. That's what we're here for. So then now, the Sunday morning pew sitters, as I call them, now we have live streamers. Uh-oh, the TV just went off. I struggled with saying this, but this is what the Holy Spirit wants me to say, because I've been home and I've did that. I've been hurt by a church and said, I don't need that church. I'll sit at home and watch TV. And don't get me wrong. If you're disabled or you're homebound or something's going on, God will bless you through that. But if you're sitting home for convenience, for fear of getting sick, you're playing with a dangerous thing. Because I did that myself. And after a couple of years, I felt myself spiritually dying. Spiritually dying. And then I hear the words of Jesus. You're not serving anyone but yourself. Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the assembly of God's people. Don't stop coming to church as some have done. The power of this church is in the gathering. When Peter was in jail, they had already killed James, and they planned on killing Peter just as soon as the weekend was over. Planned on killing him too. But what happened? It says in Luke, the church earnestly prayed for him. Earnestly prayed for him. And you know what happened? He walked out. And as he was walking out, the angels of the Lord were dressing him. That's the power in prayer in this church. We've had a spirit of division here, and we need to stop it. We need to come together and pray. Pray earnestly. Let's get some more amen. Y'all are too quiet. I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes. And I know every TV got turned off when I said that, but it's the truth. So I got to thinking that there's more to this life here on this earth. A lot more. We can earn things for heaven. You know that? Has anybody heard of the 5 New Testament crowns? These are things that we earn while we're here on earth by doing God's command, by works, by good deeds. I got them wrote down for you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. We'll still be able to beat the Baptists to the Cracker Barrel. Pretty sure. But I want to go over these because there's more here on earth than what we really see a lot of times. So like I say, I wrote these down so we didn't have to flip because they're all over the Bible. And these are the 5 New Testament crowns that will be rewarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. The award ceremony. These are what they'll be. The first one's the victor's crown. And it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And it's a good one. Anyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That's the incorruptible crown. We just have to finish the race. We're not called to be super Christians because we're human. We sin. We make mistakes. But if we finish the race, if we continue on, we have a victor's crown. A rejoicing crown comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 and 20. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when He comes? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Paul said it numerous times, joy and peace. Grace and peace. I'm sorry. Grace and peace. Said it like 7 times in the New Testament. Joy, peace always follows God. If you put God first in your life, it doesn't matter what happens, you're going to have joy. And as we will in heaven. The third one, the crown of righteousness, comes from 2 Timothy 4:8. It says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on the day, and not only to me, but also to all those who long for His appearance. I just said it a little bit earlier. Maybe this will be the year Jesus comes back for us. I hope so. I look for it. We long for His return. The fourth one is the crown of life, and it comes from James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because they have stood the test. That person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. The crown of life. The fifth one, last but not least, is the crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Never, never fade. So then I thought, boy, so am I going to be running around heaven with 5 crowns stacked on my head? I don't know if it's 1 crown and 5 jewels or the 5 crowns. I don't really know that. But there again, with them, there's more to it. And I have an example here of what we're going to do with those crowns. And I love this. And I can't wait for this. It says in Revelation 4, Verse 10, an example. We all know that every knee will bow. We already know that every tongue will confess. We already know that. But then listen here, where it goes a little bit farther. The 24 elders fell down before Him who sits on the throne, and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. They laid their crowns before the throne and said, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will They were created and have their being. That's what I want to do. I want to take those crowns. When I meet God face to face, the God who delivered me, the God who restored my marriage, the God that healed me, and the God who made me right with Him through Jesus Christ, I can lay those at His feet. And I can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." Or you can be like 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. Matthew 15:5 says, "Not all who call me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven." That's pretty serious words from Jesus. He said, "But Lord, we done miracles in your name. We prophesied in your name." He'll say, "Sorry, but I never knew you. I never knew you." That is something that I don't want to hear. Because I've messed a lot of things up in this life. This one I'm not going to mess up. "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. Where are you at today? Is your faith dead? It says faith back to the question in 14 of chapter 2. Can such faith save you? Dead faith. Can it save you? No. Only a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. And then the deeds that He wants us to do of helping our brothers and sisters, of loving each other. That's what He wants. Where you at? It's easy to grow cold. It's easy to veer off the wrong road a little bit. But the good thing is, grace is made new every day. Every day. Every day I can get up. "Lord, I messed up yesterday. Help me today." He'll pick you right up. Take you back in His arms and love you. But we got to be careful. If you see yourself wandering off, you guys can come up. Get back on the right path. It's no big deal to go the wrong way unless you don't get back on the right path. And that path leads to heaven. And while we're waiting on heaven, we're blessed here on earth. We're blessed people. Think about where you're at today. The throne of grace is the first place I'd want to fix that if I were you. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, come. If you have needs or problems in your life, if you need healing, your healing's here this morning. If you'll only come. Get my stuff out early. I don't know what I did with you. Oh, there it is. Don't leave here today without your heart not in the right place. as we've seen from others. Sherry Fields, we've seen her Sunday. Monday, she was gone. You might be the next. We're none of us guaranteed tomorrow. Young people are dying every day. Come pray. Go ahead.